You're listening to the Party in My Plants podcast, and you're about to hear how my job helping peeps eat healthier might be a total hoax. Okay, that's not true. But really, this episode is about how listening to your own unique bod is really how you'll help it be hella healthy. Welcome to the Party in My Plants podcast, where I make healthy living as fun as a party so you'll, you know, actually want to do it and then actually feel, look, and live your best. I'm your host, Talia Pollock. Now let's get this party started. This episode is enthusiastically sponsored by a product I couldn't swear by more if I tried. Four Sigmatic Mushrooms. I didn't say swear about more. I said swear by. I couldn't swear by the magic of mushrooms more if I tried. I originally tried a packet of Four Sigmatic Mushroom tea in a glass of hot water because, well, I was gifted a free single packet of Four Sigmatic Mushroom tea by a friend. I had no idea what it did or what was going to happen to me. And I was skeptical because this whole mushroom thing is trendy right now. And I'm always skeptical of trendy things. Read, I avoid trendy things to not be trendy. You know what I mean? But anyway, I drank the shrooms and I felt truly awesome. It's hard to explain. I just felt more awesome than before I drank it. Since then, I've ordered it and consumed about 2 packets of shrooms a day, and I can't get enough. I am telling you, these mushrooms are magic. Although they don't make me hallucinate in a bathtub like my ex-boyfriend's famous magic mushroom experience, which honestly, he seemed way too proud of in hindsight. But hear this, I wasn't hallucinating the magical effects of these shrooms. They are ultra scientifically proven to boost immunity and gut health. Yes, please, and thank you. And the 4 different shrooms that Four Sigmatic uses most, hence the 4 in Four Sigmatic, I just got that too. Well, like 3 minutes ago. But they all do different epic things for your bod. Reishi helps you relax. Cordyceps give you non-caffeinated energy for sports and stuff. Lion's mane, which does not come from my lion's mane, boosts your brain. That one's easy to remember. And chaga is good for immunity issues, like when you're traveling or feeling run down and or both. Okay, enough blabbering from me. I just finished a mushroom matcha latte. Oh yeah, Four Sigmatic has mushroom matcha powder. If I could just stop blabbering for a damn second, I could tell you that because you listen to this podcast, thank you for that, you can save 15% off any and all Four Sigmatic shroom stuff you'll want to buy off their site, Four Sigmatic, FourSigmatic.com, using code PARTYINMYPLANTS. To save that 15%, baby. Man, maybe I had way too much mushroom matcha. Okay, onward to the show. Today's guest du jour is somebody I've admired from afar for a long time. And by afar, I mean across a border because she's in Canada and I'm in America. Good thing I record my podcast on Skype, eh? Megan Telfner is one of my favorite spelled O-R-I-T-E, not the weird Canadian way, O-U-R-I-T-E, by the way. But she's one of my favorite humans to follow for down-to-earth, no BS, fun, welcoming, and bubbly nutrition info. Megan is an author, a speaker, a nutritionist, the founder and director of the Academy of Culinary Nutrition, and, as she says, the head cheerleader of your life. Yay, rah-rah, kale, boom-ba. What really drew me to her years ago is when I saw that she published a healthy eating book called Undiet. Can I get an amen and a shared middle finger pointed up at dieting? And can we just get into the episode already? Here's the awesome and knowledgeable Megan Telfner. Megan, thank you so much for coming on the Party in My Plants podcast.
Thanks for having me, Talia.
I feel like you are as much of a party as I am. Your website, your colors, your energy, just you are your own party.
I have a really good time with the work that I do, which is good because it's been almost 10 years that I've been doing it. So it's I'm grateful that it's still fun.
Yeah, that it's still turning you on and lighting you up. That's amazing. 10 years. Congrats. That's a long time.
It is.
Yeah. And you are like the queen of not following a diet trend. In fact, I mean, your whole philosophy and the title of your books is Undieting. or well, on diet. So just right off the bat, I'm just curious, what does undieting mean to you?
Undiet came about, it was a little bit of a merger of ideas when my publisher approached me about writing a book. And a lot of people say, how did you get a book deal? I was one of the lucky ones early on that my publisher actually came to me and they wanted me to write a diet book. And I'm so opposed to diets because I'm sure like you and like your audience, as we sort of tune into this healthy living, we go on to like one way of eating. We're like, this is amazing and it works for me. And then it doesn't work anymore. And then you're like, wait, I need to start introducing more of this. And so the diet continues to evolve. And so I was adamant that I didn't want to write a diet book because then it would be the only book I could ever write if I'm saying this is the best way to eat. And so we kind of broke it open and took that apart and looked at what optimal eating actually was, which is that there's no one diet for every human being on the planet. Mm-hmm. And so undiet is about tuning into your body, to your lifestyle, to what you're doing that day potentially, and deciding what you need for your own optimal health. And there is no expert on the planet that can tell you the best diet for you. There's people that can help inspire thinking and guide you. You know, if you want to try something, they might provide recipes or tools or tips to make that happen. But ultimately, if we can start to tune into how we feel on any given day, that is how we will find our optimal health. What happens too often is that, and we're seeing it now, you know, with ketogenic and paleo and vegan and so many conflicting, quote, healthy diet.
Yes.
That everyone's confused. Like, well, how is all of this going to work? How does that study say that works? And how does this study say this one works? It's because they all work and they're all equally broken because there's no one solution for everybody.
Yes.
And so as long as we can tune in and pay attention to that and be honest with ourselves and not adhere too tightly to any title of a diet, then we can ultimately undiet our lives.
And, yes.
And it will change. And it's not about the calorie counts and the fat grams and, you know, all that nonsense. It's about eating food that has nutritional value in it, that's delicious, that we enjoy, that hopefully grows near where we live, that's seasonally appropriate, that we can make into beautiful, simple meals. And then the approach to healthy living literally is completely effortless.
Oh my God. I am flipping out over here. I'm basically doing cartwheels inside my body. I just resonate and love with every single word you just said and could not agree more. You know, it's so true. There are so many trends out there. One day it's all about whole wheat. The next day, gluten is the devil. And for some people, they're like, paleo is the way, it changed my life, da da da. And then other people are like, vegan saved me, da 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 da.
Yeah.
You know, like, so how do you suggest that someone even begin to attempt to figure out their best undiet diet?
Right. So, well, gluten is the devil. Just kidding.
Just kidding. For you, it is. And we'll talk about that for sure.
For me, it is. For people who have sensitivities, it absolutely is. But, I think is so important for people to recognize is that you can choose any of the diets out there, almost any of them. Some of them are actually nutso, but the diet that heals you may not be the diet that sustains your health long term. So you can go, someone who's on a processed food diet and goes vegan, they will likely first feel terrible and then feel absolutely incredible and start shedding excess weight and having increased energy and their skin will look better and their hair will look better and all those things will happen because they've gotten rid of a lot of the processed foods and the bad oils and the fast foods and, you know, it's all that sugar and factory farm meat and all these things that are absolutely detrimental to our health. Similarly, someone could go on a strictly paleo diet where they're getting rid of all grains, all sugars, and they're eating a high protein and high vegetable diet, and they might see the exact same results. They'll maybe lose excess weight, have better energy, have better hormonal balance, sleep better, all those things for a period, and then start to realize, you know what, maybe I need some grains once in a while. And similarly with the vegan diet, maybe they might start to notice tooth decay or excess weight gain happen over time or skin issues or digestive issues. So what can happen is that these diets are all seem miraculous when you first shift to one because you're following a guideline, you're getting rid of processed foods, you're getting rid of processed commercial dairy, you're getting rid of a lot of these things that are causing problems in our health. And so you feel amazing as your body retunes. However, over time, what can happen is, you know, your body reacclimatizes to it and you start to develop perhaps deficiencies or get lazy with it. You know, you can be on a vegan diet and eat French fries, or you can be on a paleo diet and somehow they think that bacon ice cream is a good idea. So you can get lazy and you start to cheat, and it's sort of human nature trying to find these loopholes that it may not serve you long term. So what we have to recognize is that every day we need to tune in and pay attention that, you know, why am I so tired today? Is it because I didn't sleep? Why didn't I sleep well? Did I have too much coffee yesterday? Too much sugar? Did I not have enough protein with my dinner? So when you start to tune into how you actually feel and ask those questions and answer them honestly, then it starts to restructure how you approach your next meal, your next snack. So for me, for example, I have a 4-month-old baby at the time we're recording this. The way that I've eaten in the last year, from when I became pregnant to being in, you know, the third trimester to then being in the fourth trimester with a newborn, not sleeping, nourishing this baby exclusively by nursing, my diet has continued to evolve. I'm eating volumes I never expected to ever be able to. And something I'm noticing is how much I'm craving sugar, which I don't eat. So I'm combating that by just staying really well hydrated, which is doing the trick. And it's hard to do, but it's just part of tuning in. You know, why am I, you know, craving so much sweets? Obviously, I'm not sleeping well, but what else can I do short of having sugar and coffee and these things that would aggravate my baby and cause him not to sleep well? So that's kind of the approach that we have to take. And it's not the easy one. What we all want is to be like, oh, here's your diet plan. Here's your food you can eat. Here's your food you can't eat. Here's your meal plan. Follow this and everything will be taken care of for you. That will work for a period, but you know, like an exercise at the gym, like a workout, you can't do the same workout every single day and continue to expect results. Eventually, you plateau.
Yes. I relate so much to everything you're saying. I mean, I did exactly what you said. I went from normal eating to vegan, raw vegan, actually, and then just vegan, and experienced exactly as you described. You know, the hair, the weight loss just flying off my body, an abundance of energy, all my digestive issues that I had for 8 years just like went out the window. I was like the best version of myself ever possible in the world. And I was vegan for 4 years. And then I started to feel different. I started to not feel as great. And I started to crave the fish and some eggs and then a little bit of like goat cheese and stuff like that. And I think what's key here is this whole undiet way of living, because if I had held on to my vegan diet, which I did for 6 months, I fought myself. I was like, you are a vegan. You're not going to give into this fish craving. Like, stop it. You're a vegan. You're a vegan. Like the label, the label. And then eventually I'm like, screw the label. Like, just eat the fish, try the eggs. And I felt even better. And so that's why, you know, I so resonate with your undiet philosophy, because if I had held on to my label and my diet, I wouldn't have, you know, evolved with my diet the way my body was literally telling me it wanted to evolve.
Absolutely. I had been primarily plant-based. I never used the V word because I love honey.
But I actually consumed honey as a vegan.
Yeah.
Nice.
So what happened, I was in a really bad car accident and couldn't recover. And then my nervous system didn't have the capacity to repair. And from my first book, Undiet, to the cookbook, The Undiet Cookbook, Undiet, I was primarily plant-based when I wrote it. And by the time The Undiet Cookbook came out, I was eating animal products. And so all the recipes in my cookbook have protein-powered options. If you want to add, you know, beef or chicken or fish or whatever it is, or make them that way, that option is there. Because I do believe it's up to everyone. And one of the things that really resonated with me as I transitioned my diet, because I wanted to be, you know, environmentally aware and conscious, because I am with my clothes, with my household, with how I do everything. But one of the things that really resonated with me, I live in Toronto, Canada, and when I was on a primarily plant-based diet, the core of my calories were coming from coconuts, from olives, from avocados, from things that did not grow anywhere near where I live. Yeah. And it started to make, like, why am I eating, you know, coconuts that are being shipped and avocados and all this stuff instead of eggs that are, you know, being raised, you know, 50 miles from my house, or And so when I start to look at the balance, and humans have an amazing capacity to rationalize the things that we want to work for us. That's why there's so many studies about the benefits of wine and chocolate and coffee, because we love them all.
So true.
But when I started to look at it, you know, the way I was eating on a plant-based diet was not sustainable. If everyone on the planet ate the way I ate, we'd be in big trouble. It just wasn't possible. And, you know, when a food requires more calories and fossil fuels to get to you than you get from actually eating it,
yeah,
that's also a problem. So that was how I was able to wrap my mind around transitioning, which is hard. And it's hard, you know, because I had a business that, you know, I offered challenges around a certain way of eating that no longer worked for me. And for me, I was gaining weight and I developed cavities. I'd never had a cavity in my life. And all signs pointed to the fact that I was not eating an optimal diet for my optimal health. And there is no greater harm to the planet than a human being out of balance. And I think that we see that, unfortunately, almost every day now.
That's so interesting. That's amazing. And so, you know, you just slowly started listening to your body and transitioning your diet?
What happened was that I got married in 2012. And prior to that, I'd started dabbling in bone broth. My mom makes chicken soup. I would eat her chicken soup. But right after we'd got married, I wanted to make my husband meatballs. I'm like, I'm going to be like a good wife and have dinner ready. And at the time we were working like crazy and I taught cooking classes at night. So it was rare that I was even home to make dinner. So I made these meatballs for him and I was like, I should try one to make sure that, you know, they're good. I didn't know how to cook meat at all. So I ate one and like, couldn't stop. Like I ate a half dozen meatballs and I was like, oh my God, I can't believe I just did that. And I felt amazing. Like almost instantly prior to that, I was eating these heavy oatmeal breakfasts and then I'd be, you know, on this blood sugar roller coaster all day. And
yes,
it just, and I ate all this meat in one sitting, and then didn't touch it again for a couple months. It was like my body got what it needed at that point and then slowly started to moderate and be more responsible. Yeah.
Responsible.
But it was just this response to what I needed. And I've noticed since I've been nursing the last 4 months, like I get these intense cravings for very specific things and I'll eat them and then don't need it anymore. And that's just a process of trusting and being informed and knowing what's out there, that when you're craving salty foods, you don't need potato chips. Like maybe you need a little bit of miso paste or miso soup. Maybe you need a bone broth. Maybe you need to remineralize in some other way. And that just comes with trusting your instinct, being informed. And something that's really, really important, and I tell this to all my students through the Academy of Culinary Nutrition, because a lot of our students come to us with their preconceived ideas about the optimal diet, is to do research from the perspective of people who are experts, who are already in line and agree with what you believe and how you live, and also look at the conflicting information from those that contradict.
That'll drive you crazy.
Will drive you crazy, but it forces you to recognize that there are two sides to every nutritional story. Like there is no perfect study that will tell you the best diet, because there's a physical component, an emotional component, a spiritual component. There's so much involved.
You're so right. I mean, I like, my first instinct was, oh, that would drive me crazy. But I like your perspective a little better, which is, no, it'll just show you there's nothing that's perfect. There's nothing that's absolute, that it's really unique to each of us.
Yeah.
But I mean, you did say that gluten for you is the devil. And I know that plays into how you got started with this from the get-go, right? So if you don't mind sharing, like, how you even got started being this profound person that you are today.
Profound. Well, the reason I said that about gluten is because for the most part, I'm a nutritionist by profession. I'm more of an educator now than anything. I don't see clients. But if you're having, you know, whether it's a digestive issue, an autoimmune condition, a condition of inflammation, whether it's a, you know, inflammation of the joints, which we often think of, or chronic sinus congestion or any of those kinds of things, or chronic allergies, you know, these things that are so common now, and you go to a practitioner, a natural health practitioner, a functional medicine practitioner, they're going to ask you to get rid of gluten, dairy, and sugar, those three things, because those three things are so commonly implicated in the conditions we're seeing every day. And so when you can get rid of those things, you're sort of at least eliminating that as a potential cause for what's going on. And you can kind of clear out that clutter and see through and see what's actually going on in the body. That's why I said it. It doesn't mean everyone needs to be off it forever, but getting rid of it can often also eliminate a lot of the things that cause problems.
But what if you eliminate gluten, dairy, and sugar at the same time, and then you don't know which one of those is causing the problems?
Well, you kind of need to, because gluten and dairy cross-react. So often if you respond negatively to dairy, you can have a similar reaction to gluten and vice versa.
I did not know that.
I know. So most people who are trying stuff, they get rid of one. They're like, that didn't solve the problem. I'll bring that back in and now get rid of this one. Mm-hmm. So what you can do is get rid of both. And if you feel better and you're like, I really want to try, you know, some goat cheese I got at the farmer's market, try that. If you have a reaction, you know that's a problem for you. If you're like, I really just want that slice of pizza, if you eat it, you know that's a problem for you. So it's kind of a win-win. If you can get rid of all of it and you start to feel better and then add one thing in at a time and gauge how you feel, it will give you the best way of knowing what you're negatively responding to. And anyone should really, really give this a try before they invest in seeing a natural healthcare practitioner. Do this for 6 weeks.
Okay.
And you can save yourself thousands of dollars and hundreds of hours and so
Thank
much anguish.
You. Thanks.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
And when you say sugar, do you mean processed sugar or do you also mean like fruit?
No, I mean like white table sugar, also artificial sweeteners, you know, honey and maple syrup and all that in small amounts is fine.
Okay.
Dried fruit in small amounts is fine. But like, you know, a lot of people on the raw food diet, you know, are not strangers to eating massive amounts of dates at one time, which is going to be a problem if you have leaky gut or candida or, you know, hormonal imbalance, blood sugar issues. But anyway, the way I got into all this, which is your original question.
Yeah.
I had an undergraduate degree in fashion from university and then went back.
Hence all your colorful outfits and your colorful energy.
Ironically, though, in fashion school and in the fashion industry, I was wearing all black.
No.
100%. And it wasn't until I kind of like broke out into, you know, what I feel was my true calling that I started dressing like, you know, a child that dove into their laundry hamper and came out the other side being like, look at this outfit.
Oh my God. That's so crazy. I can't picture you in all black. Wow. That just is a testament to, you know, doing what you love and becoming the most vibrant version of yourself.
Absolutely. Or just becoming who you really are and not what is expected. So I went to fashion school and then graduate this degree and I'm like, what am I going to do with this? So I ended up going backpacking in Africa.
Oh, of course. Obviously. Of course, what else would you do with a fashion degree than backpack in Africa?
Exactly. So I did that and I ended up getting quite sick. And so when I came back, I started going from doctor to doctor. I got, I was working in advertising and it took 3 years and 19 doctors when in the summer of 2006, I was diagnosed with Crohn's disease, which is an autoimmune inflammatory bowel disease that it's now been 11 years that conventional medicine still says there's no cure, which they're right because there is no one diet that's going to cure everybody. But I was given no hope of a solution. It was sort of, here are your medical options. Here's the potential medications you could take. If it gets worse, we may look into surgeries.
Oh my God.
We'll take a wait and see approach. So I was 26 at the time. And like, I still don't have my ears pierced. The thought of surgery and hospitals and all that was absolutely terrifying to me. And because I was given no options, which was the best blessing in the world, I realized that it lent the opportunity to me to try stuff because I could try stuff and it might not work and I would be exactly where I would have been anyway, or I could try things and it might work and I will be a step ahead. And I thought about it as an insurance policy. Like, what if I can affect change in my body? What if I can affect the way the cells of my intestines are expressing themselves? And this is, you know,
what made you think that that was possible?
Well, I guess because the doctor said to me, his words were, eat your cheeseburgers, drink your milkshakes, nothing you do is going to affect the prognosis of this disease. And, you know, with my advanced biological understandings through my fashion degree, I thought, how could food or a substance that passes along your intestines not affect the health of the intestines? So if Crohn's was an inflammation of the cells or of the lining of the intestines, it seemed obvious it would be affected by what passed through it, what made contact with it. We know this. If you put a cream on your arm that you have an allergy to, you get a rash.
Yeah. So how does a doctor not know this? That, I mean, or care or whatever. That's a whole different story.
Because, I mean, I'm trying not to get outraged.
Sorry, I'm getting outraged for you.
I'm quietly outraged. They sort of have to say this because they can't study a nutrient in isolation and show that this nutrient is going to heal this disease. And that's part of the challenge with nutritional research for all conditions. Autoimmune is multi-pronged. It's environmental triggers. It's emotional, psycho-spiritual triggers. It's dietary triggers, absolutely 100%. It's chemical triggers. There's so much involved. So that's why they'll say there's no cure. Whatever you eat, what you want, it won't affect it, because they've never had specific, you know, double-blind placebo studies proving that gluten will exacerbate the condition, that sugar will make it worse, that dairy will make it worse if you're lactose intolerant, that alcohol, coffee, you know, all these things that are just part of every day. So what I did was they said, basically, you have no hope. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to, and I guess it's part of my disposition too, to be like, well, I will prove you wrong.
That's watch awesome. And see.
And so that was what I did. I started adjusting my diet. I started reading, and any food that potentially caused inflammation in the body, I did not eat. And any food that could potentially help, I ate more of. And so basically, I was left on a whole foods-based diet. Like, it wasn't vegan, it wasn't macrobiotic, it wasn't paleo. What, you know, a lot of that didn't even exist when I was trying this out. You didn't really hear about it. I was just basically eating unprocessed food, like cooking fish and having rice and vegetables.
What a
and,
concept.
Right.
Revolutionary.
And I learned to cook. And then I was going for acupuncture. I started doing yoga. Through the yoga teacher I was seeing, he had introduced me to a meditation teacher. I started meditating. The result for me was that within 4 weeks, the symptoms of Crohn's was gone. Within 3 months, I was healthier than I could ever remember being. Wow. And that was in 2006. So I'm now, wow, you know, in my 11th year, 100% symptom-free.
Oh my God.
Was incurable. And what? I've since gone on to, you know, I had a healthy pregnancy, I had a healthy baby, you know, all these things that they say, you know, put you at high risk for a flare up and all these things. It didn't happen. If the disease comes back, it's because there's something going on in my body. It's epigenetics, that we can affect how our genes express themselves by how we live. So yes, I have a genetic predisposition. I have relatives with the disease. I did the 23andMe that showed I was 10 times more likely to have an inflammatory bowel disease. But through diet and lifestyle choices, I've maintained, you know, they'll call it remission. I think I'm healed. Are the cells of our body, we are 100% new humans every 7 to 10 years, meaning that there's no cell in my body today that existed in my body 10 or 11 years ago. So because I have no disease in my body, if it comes back, it's come back and I need to then heal again. But that's how I approach it.
That's amazing. That is so inspiring, because, you know, you're like, they tell me it's incurable and I'm like, I'm going to prove you wrong. And I think most people, or many people, would be like, they told me it was incurable and I just cried every day, yeah, and surrendered and, you know, succumbed to my pain and got the surgery and took the meds. And so,
yeah,
that's just, and such I did an inspiring.
That. Like, I was upset. I was mad for a week. I was crying because I was mad that I'd been ignored for 3 years, that all these doctors had said, oh, it's in your head. And they sent me to psychologists and psychiatrists and do all that testing. But I also want to be super clear that this was my experience, that healing for everyone may not look the same. Some people may rightly need surgery or medication, and it can, in some cases, absolutely save people's lives. So don't think that you are weak or falling short or doing something wrong if that's the path you take. It's absolutely not. All we can do is our best with the knowledge that we have. But what we have to acknowledge is that even if we choose that path, or that's the right path for us, or we need it because it's an emergency, it's still not 100% out of our hands. There's still action we can take to better recover, to heal faster, to have less flare-ups, or to have the resiliency to not become hospitalized if we have a flare-up. And the same goes for the recurrence of any autoimmune conditions or any cancers that might come back, is that there's no 100% guarantee that we will live our lives 100% disease-free, but isn't it nice to consider that we've done all that we can to prevent or to
slow down the progression of a disease, or, you know, that we never have to be like, oh, I should have done more, or why didn't I do this? Or it would have been so easy for me to just cut out sugar, or for me to start taking saunas, or for me to go for walks. You know, I feel confident that I'm doing all that I can.
Yes.
And even when, you know, I had my baby and I had a very, very difficult delivery. His head was on an angle. So he wasn't dropping down. But during my pregnancy, I had done everything I could to work towards a natural birth, which was what our intentions had been, that I had gone to the osteopath and I was doing cranial sacral and I was doing yoga and I was eating properly and sleeping as much and, you know, literally doing everything that I could. It didn't turn out how I had would have wanted. However, I did also heal and recover very, very quickly from a traumatic birth, and my baby is thriving. So amazing. I just don't think we ever, any of us would ever want to live with a regret like
yes.
that.
Yes. Just do everything you can to stack all the cards in our favor, everything in our control.
Yeah.
100%. So, I mean, for you and your, no, I don't want to say your diet, the way you eat and the way you would encourage others to eat, maybe like, are there any rules, I mean, that you have, you know, processed foods? Is that something you would just like confidently say, don't eat? Or are there things that you would say, definitely eat? Just curious.
Yeah. So I refer to it as a lifestyle as opposed to a diet, because it, at this point, there are things that are just non-negotiable, no ways. Like it's, I'm not going through a drive-thru. I am not, you know, like there's just certain things that are not even a question. And so that's why I think of it as a lifestyle. And, you know, I'm fortunate my husband and I, we met in nutrition school, and we are on side 99% of the time with how we feel about things and what we choose to eat and what we won't eat and all of that. But it's also in how we live our lives and our gratitude practice and being happy and grateful and all of those things. So what I like to think of it, and this is actually my husband, Josh Catalis, he's a functional medicine practitioner. But he talks about the set point, and that we all have a set point. So when he works with clients and they come in and they bring their food journal and they're like, oh, I was really bad this week. He's overjoyed because he said that is what tells him what their set point is. So if you have a really bad week and you eat Cheerios or Subway sandwiches or McDonald's or whatever, he knows that's your set point. That's as low as you will go when you're under pressure. For us, our set point is very different, like, because that is never an option. If we are on, you know, for an example, our baby was 1 month old. We got a flat tire on the side of the highway and we sat there for 3 hours waiting to get towed to like the local garage.
Oh boy.
And there was a Walmart. So we like could have gone to the, you know, the Wendy's, the Taco Bell, all the stuff. So my husband went to the Walmart and picked up a container of hummus, some organic gluten-free crackers, some blueberries. Like that's our set point. And when you make that decision, it becomes so effortless, because as long as you make excuses for why you can do less than you're capable of or why you do less than you deserve, you'll always find reasons to do it. But if you decide, no, I want the best, or no, this is, you know, my level, this is, I won't go below this, there becomes no other option.
How do you start to raise, you know, that standard? Like for your husband's clients that, you know, go to Subway, how would you help them get to the point of you where that's not even a thought that they might have?
Right. So there's stages in people's transitions, but the best way, and the way that we both, and what, how I've always approached, is through education. So it's not me saying to you, you can't eat that, it's bad for you.
Right.
It's saying, look what's in that. And this is what it can do. This is how these ingredients that are in this food are going to contribute to your main concern, the reason why you're here seeing me in the first place, or the thing that you're complaining about.
So what you want, let's say, how you want to be.
Yeah. So let's say someone has, you know, they're 35 years old and have the start of arthritis. Their knuckles get sore sometimes, their knees, their joints ache, but they want that McDonald's. And I might say to them, well, look at, this is what's in it, and this is what will potentially exacerbate your inflammation. This is what will contribute to a worsening progression of this disease. And so sometimes if we understand why something is not right for us specifically, personally, then we have a more a connected approach to it, as opposed to just, you know, some expert on TV saying, don't eat that, it's bad for you. But if you can understand why it's bad for you or why it's harmful or why it's working against what your objectives or goals are, we have a better understanding. Something that, you know, people often talk about chocolate and candy. And what I often talk about is, you know, if you look at these commercial chocolate brands that are using, you know, children as slaves in pesticide-ridden, quote, farms, harvesting these chocolate pods that they're then processing into this chocolate, it's suddenly not that sweet anymore. Right. You know, if you think about slave children, slave labor, that's who's harvesting these chocolate for these massive chocolate brands or these companies that are stealing water. You know, we know about Standing Rock and companies stealing water from people. You start to question, you know, do I want to be part of that? And do I want to be contributing to that? So there's health approaches you can take to want to change. There's looking at the, you know, the global situation, our planet. And so if we understand why yes, we want to make these decisions, mm-hmm. it becomes relevant. Yes. You know, I was at a talk, Michael Pollan, who's wonderful, mm-hmm. and this 10-year-old boy was there and he was sitting beside me. And during the question and answer period, he asked the question. He's really into food. And he asked the question, you know, my friends make fun of me. How do I explain to them why I make the food choices I make? Mm-hmm. And Michael Pollan's suggestion was take them to a factory farm, take them to a feedlot. Don't take them to the happy farm where the cows and sheep are all roaming, mm-hmm. but show them the reality of where their food comes from. And suddenly, you know, they're educated to make those decisions. So they understand why their mom is saying, you know, we don't eat that in our house.
Yes.
And so that they also understand when they're out, how to make the best decision for them. And the same applies to adults. It's the same thing. You know, people are like, I don't want to know. I don't want to see it. Well, you need to know and you need to see it and you mm-hmm. need to understand. And the hardest thing for I'm sure for you, for me, I'm sure people listening who are obviously tuned in because that's why they're listening mm-hmm. is when they hear the people in their family, their friends and family complaining about their ill health or watching them contribute to, you know, knowing down the line what's going to happen, that they're going to end up with diabetes, they're going to end up with breast cancer, yep. but them just not wanting to listen and not wanting to hear. And that's the hardest part. But if we can get that why across, it can be incredibly powerful to raise that set point and have that lasting change and have those very firm non-negotiables.
Yes, I totally agree that the why, having a strong emotional why, is what leads you to creating your own non-negotiables, because you want to adhere to your why. You have this burning desire. I mean, for me, first and foremost, it's my health. You know, I struggled with my own health for a really long time, and eating a whole bunch of plants above anything else is what makes me feel and think and look and live my best. And that means so many things are non-negotiables because they don't align with that burning desire why.
Exactly. Absolutely.
So your Academy of Culinary Nutrition, is that a program that people could take to learn a lot more about what you're saying? Because what you're also saying is, it sounds like education is a huge part of this. Educating yourself on what foods do for you, what, you know, foods, how foods damage you, how they build you up, and, you know, what goes on. Is that what your program can help with?
That's what everything I do is intended to help with. That's what this podcast is intended right. to help with, is to offer that education. So in my books, I outline, you know, optimal foods to have and to not have and explain why I'm making the recommendation. With the Academy of Culinary Nutrition, we're offering, it's a 14-week certification program in educating people about culinary nutrition and the effects our food have on our health. But beyond that, what the program, what the intention of the school is, and our mission is to teach the teacher. So we don't just, you know, you take the program, I'm going to teach you all the stuff, you're going to love it, you're going to apply it, you're going to have a great upheaval in your home, and hopefully everyone comes along with you, the ride for you, with you. But it's also about teaching our students how to effectively communicate and share this information without judgment,
yes.
explain the whys, give the hows and the whats and the wheres and the whens. So we are actually teaching people how to teach and share in their own communities. So it's 14 modules spread out over 14 weeks. And at the end, our students have learned how to put together client information packages, looking at specific conditions, foods that will potentially exacerbate and the foods that will heal. We teach our students how to do recipe creation with as many healing ingredients for that specific condition as possible, and then create a meal plan for that condition.
Wow.
and then do a workshop or a cooking class, and how to then teach and inspire others to take on these changes. And so for me, it's amazing. You know, as of December 2017, we'll have graduated 1,500 students in over 50 countries,
wow,
which is great. But for me, the greatest gift to all of this is when our students are there, then alumni come back and tell us about what their students are doing and how, you know, someone came to a workshop and they're now making all their own almond milk, or they've gotten all the processed cereal out of their house. That was like their big change, to get rid of all the box cereal and make their own granola, or stop eating granola. And, you know, they're trying different types of breakfasts. So that's really where the school fits in, is that we are sort of planting that seed for it to grow, because I used to teach cooking classes here in Toronto in my kitchen to 12 to 24 people, and they were amazing, but I couldn't do it alone. And I realized that there's such demand for this knowledge that for those of us who know it, it seems common sense, but there's such a hunger. People want to make their own sauerkraut. They want to learn how to optimally feed their families. They want to know, you know, they have a son with ADD or autism or asthma, and they want to know how to best feed that child for their optimal growth and development. And because there is so much more degenerative disease and children that are getting sicker younger and all this stuff that's happening, there's never been greater demand for this knowledge, and not just for ourselves and how to use it and have it apply to us, but how we can take it and customize it to those that seek our guidance and those that need our help so that they can then function optimally.
Yes.
And it's really about, you know, going well beyond the food, but looking at how all of us as humans can fulfill in our potential. And it starts with eating good food and thinking good thoughts and putting positivity and goodness out in the world.
Woo! Well, I'm sold. I mean, that sounds amazing. Is it just for people that have a business in, you know, nutrition or health in some ways, or could just an awesome mom who wants to share with her yoga buddies and her children and her children's moms, like, take the course, the program?
All of the above. So we have different levels of the program, but always encourage our students to take the certified level because it keeps you accountable and you have a coach and you hand your work in and you get your feedback and all of that. But we have tons of moms. I mean, the majority of our students are moms. Some are full-time moms, some are moms and doing other stuff outside the house as well. But we have, you know, a huge range. Our youngest student ever, I think, was 17. Our oldest was in her late 70s as a great grandmother.
Wow.
We have had police officers. We've had clergy. We've had who does reform work in prisons. We've had teachers. We've had, you know, it's an equine therapist. I didn't even know they existed. People use horses to help people heal. Like engineers, administrative assistants. Like it's Jeez. Everything. And it's people who want to use it just for themselves, which is amazing. People want to use it for their families. And then the far end of people, you know, you've had Abigail on from that Clean Life, used it to create a massive, incredible business. So there are such ranges in who our students are. And ultimately, the only thing people need is the desire to learn and that passion for it. That's it. That's the only prerequisite.
And we can feel your passion just flying through the speakers of this episode right now. Like you are buzzing. It's just, you can feel how much you adore what you do and you know, are so passionate about spreading your message and spreading the message of you get to choose what you put in your body and make these great choices and then you can be your best self.
Yeah. Yeah. And we get to work. I mean, the students we have and the readers I have, and I'm sure, you know, you have a similar experience, is that, you know, I'm so blessed to get to work with such incredible people. You know, I learn as much from them as they do from me every time we run the program, with the questions they ask and the wisdom and experience other people bring to our respective communities. It's just incredible what's possible now.
Yeah. And, you know, something I want to touch upon that you've said a few times now, just like briefly, is that it's not just about the food. I know for you, it's also about the thoughts that you consume, the thoughts that you choose and the thoughts you put in your mind. And, you know, I was reading your creed, which is awesome. And one of your lines is eat fruit, lots of cherries while thinking good thoughts. And one of my favorite lines that I say all the time is kind of similar, but different. It's don't eat Brussels sprouts with a bitch face.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering how for you mindset really fits into the whole healthy eating, healthy living philosophy.
Right. So along those lines, I think it's in my book where I say that, you know, eating a kale salad while angry isn't going to heal you.
Oh my God. That's like exactly what I say all the time.
Yeah. And I think that it's just this idea that oftentimes this type of lifestyle or adherence to healthy eating comes along with a bit of a type A, where we want to do everything exactly right. And we want to follow these rules. And you know, some of the nastiest people I've ever in my life are yoga teachers who are just like working on the edge constantly. And that's probably what brought them to yoga, is that they're looking for a solution, looking for a way to resolve whatever is holding them back. And I think that it's so vitally important that, you know, even more important than the food we eat is the intention we go into our day with and who we surround ourselves with and the language we use when we converse with people. And, you know, my husband and I literally, and especially now that we have a baby, but we sit down to dinner every night and we're like, we are so blessed. And we take that moment to appreciate the lives that we're living. And that, beyond anything, will benefit our health. Because like you said, eating Brussels sprouts, eating anything that's good for you, when you're miserable about having to do it or feeling like you're missing out or just feeling angry or having the FOMO, the fear of missing out, that everyone else has a better time than you. Or, you know what I hear a lot of, and this is so common, is people saying, you know, I'm eating so well and I'm still dealing with all these health issues and I have a brother or a friend.
Who just eats French fries and they're thin.
Yeah, they're thin or they've never had a health problem in their life. Well, oftentimes what happens is those people, the health problem shows up dramatically and aggressively for one. Mm-hmm. But an attitude goes so far. And if you're having a day and you're like, you know what, I don't want to eat kale, just don't eat it. But find something else that is delicious for you, that is going to be good for you, that is going to nourish your soul in some way. Or go for a walk until you feel differently, or do something until you feel differently. But the diet is one small part. And it's so easy to get hung up on eating the most perfect diet or taking the absolute best supplement regime. And that's all just part of the pie. And it's getting all those pieces, you know, enjoying the work that you do every day, being grateful for who you've chosen to spend your life with and appreciating that person or those people, and choosing your friends and not doing things out of obligation. You know, family is a tough one. And with the holiday season coming up, family is very tough. And recognizing that, you know, you can choose to be offended by things. You can choose to be insulted. You can choose to be irritated. That's all a choice. And we have no control over anything in our lives except how we choose to respond. And if we can choose to respond mindfully or more mindfully next time, you know, if you're like, oh, I didn't do that one so well this time around, it's all just part of that process. And all of it together just makes life easier.
So then, you know, if you can choose to be offended, you can choose to be, you know, irritated, you could also choose to be happy and choose to let it go, right? You know, I mean, everything is a choice. Our thoughts, as much as the food we put into our bodies.
Yeah, we have a thing around here because we, you know, when you're online, you end up having contact with more and more people, and not everyone is kind all the time. Mm-hmm. And we have a delete and forgive policy, and it works in life too. Sometimes you're just like, you know what, this person's no longer serving me. I let them go and I forgive them and I move on. And it can work online, it can work in person, it can work with a certain food that, like, you know, I've got like an addiction to potato chips. It's like, you know what, they no longer exist in my life. I let them move on. And it can apply to a lot of things and be really powerful. And it's just for each of us finding that way to best cope. And it's not about ignoring. We can't ignore what's going on in our lives, what's going on around us, but we can choose to respond better.
Delete and forgive. I love that. So if you get like a mean comment on YouTube, which is where I always get my mean comments, just delete and forgive.
Absolutely. And we, you know, I get them on all sorts of places. Usually they're directly to my inbox.
Oh my God. Or that's there's terrible. A few.
Yeah. It's okay. It's okay. Delete because and forgive. I've written things, I've written blog posts that don't agree with a lot of people sometimes. And, you know, who knew people were so attached to Nutella or, you know, certain network marketing beauty care products. But
to me, it's not necessarily a bad thing. I don't take it personally. We should never take that stuff personally, because usually it's about them. It's about the person delivering it, not about us. It's about what we are doing and how that might be making them feel. And so the way I see it is, you know, maybe it's a good thing that you're eliciting a response.
Yeah.
I mean, trolls who send stuff anonymously, they're just boring and useless and not worth our energy and definitely not worth responding to. But yeah. It's something to think about, that are your actions challenging someone in some way? And maybe not right away, but maybe long term, it might work. An example I got just today, very small example, but our students are doing these Mackie rolls. They're learning how to use sea vegetables. And a lot of people don't eat sea vegetables in our culture very often, you know, like nori or arami, wakame. So one of them had made little sushi rolls and her daughter was like indifferent about it. And then was like, I'll try it. She said she didn't like it. And then like a couple hours later said, how do you make those? And then a couple hours later said, can I actually have some of my lunch tomorrow?
Yeah.
And it's like a very small, but it's that example of if we can live by example, if we can live our truth and do it positively without judgment, you know, we can only really take care of ourselves primarily. And we are consistent with it. People will come to us. They will seek our guidance. God, they will ask. And only when they ask can we offer advice and guidance.
Yeah. I mean, I have an example from a few weekends ago. I was in Pittsburgh with my family. We were going to a Pittsburgh Steelers football game, which is one of my favorite yearly activities. And we were going to the tailgate and I, you know, was like, do you guys mind if we stop at Whole Foods? I can't just eat tailgate food. It would be really great. If not, I'll like take the car and I'll go early in the morning. You guys don't have to come, but like, can we please just get me something healthy? And they made kind of a commotion about it. They like rolled their eyes. You know, we had to leave earlier. We got there and everyone's like, why are we here? Talia needs Whole Foods. You know, like it was like a burden. And I felt at first kind of bad and I felt like frustrated that I was burdening my family, but then I just owned it and I said, you know what? I'm going to get my kombucha to mix with my vodka at the tailgate. I'm going to get my like amazing vegetable platter to eat at the tailgate. I'm going to take care of myself. And you know what happened? We get to the tailgate, all the food's crap. Who's asking me for my kombucha? Who's trying to eat my sweet potatoes? You know, like who's like regretting the fact that they're now eating cookies for breakfast? And, you know, I didn't point fingers. I didn't say I told you so. I just led by example. And I ran out of food because I had to share it with everybody, you know?
That's
and so
really funny.
Yeah.
I also have no idea what a tailgate is. I think it's an American football thing is my guess.
Oh, yeah. You basically eat junk food out of your trunk before a football game.
Oh.
Yep.
That's an
in a parking lot.
And as you say that, that's it. Like to me, that's an interesting tradition.
It's actually quite fun, but it's
junk food out of our trunk. Okay. Yep,
in a parking lot as you prepare for the game. You do like 3 hours before the game.
Hey, I do know what you're talking about. I've seen it in movies, and but like they're painted, like they paint their faces.
Yeah, paint your face.
Got it. Got it. I'm with you now.
So funny. So funny. So on a totally random note, this is just so bizarre, but I know you're a huge fan of Four Sigmatic mushrooms, as am I. Yeah. But I'm a newer fan and you're an older fan. So I'm just randomly wondering how you got into Four Sigmatic, how it makes you feel, you know, which of their shrooms are your favorites and why. I'm just new to the shroom thing. I actually had the founder on a few weeks ago. So just excited that you're
on.
Yeah, just an enthusiast too.
So it's really funny because I was sent samples. They had like an intern publicist, I guess. It was around, I think it was 2011. I'd have to ask Tara. I think it was like 2011, early 2012. And I got this package of mushroom powders in the mail from Hong Kong. And I'm like, okay, I don't know what this is. I'd already been, because here in Canada, we can actually, my husband and I will go up into the forest and harvest our own chaga and reishi.
Oh my God.
And so we'd already been brewing our own. We'll go find these giant funguses on trees and harvest.
What do you mean by harvest? You pluck them? Take them?
Pluck them, yeah.
And then what do you how do you take the mushroom and now make it at home a tea?
So
grind it up?
Reishi mushrooms are these like fluorescent red, like they're like saucers coming out of trees. They're like super,
like the
super
emoji?
Bright. Yeah, but like don't, no. The emoji ones are like the ones that will kill you, like the little red with the white dots.
Oh, so don't eat the emojis.
Ever. please, everyone listening, do not ever harvest a mushroom unless you're with someone who has already done it and knows exactly what it is.
I just buy the powder. I would never, I don't trust myself at all.
Yeah. So we went and got it. And the reishi is like this, it comes off soft. So you can actually slice it. And then we dry it out and we actually turn it to the sun. So putting mushrooms in the sun will produce vitamin D, which is really cool. And then we just simmer it in a pot. So reishi kind of tastes horrible. It's pretty bitter.
Okay. Yeah. That's what he was saying.
Yeah. Shaga grows on a tree. It's usually on birch tree, and it looks almost like a growth on the tree, but underneath it is this incredible terracotta color or sienna color, this yellowy orange color. Mm. So once you know, you just know where it is. Then you almost get like this like spidey sense when you're in the woods being like, oh, there's one up there.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
See, we do tailgates, you harvest mushrooms. There you go.
Well, it's not a Canadian thing. It's a kook thing. So we fall into that category. You just simmer it, and the shaga has a better taste. It's got, you know, I'll usually do it with a little bit of vanilla and a little bit of honey, and it's really nice. So taro, I got these mushroom powders in the mail and tried them, and they were horrible. Oh. And I was like, this is amazing that it makes accessible, because most people are not going into the forest to find mushrooms.
Yeah.
And they're such powerful foods. So I'd sort of sent feedback, and hadn't really gotten started. And I said, you know, it's a strong flavor. Maybe send it with a recipe so people know to put some honey with it or something. And they worked on the formulation, and they got better and better, and they started mixing with stevia and some other herbs. And then, if this business didn't work out, I would have become a matchmaker. Like, I love setting people up. And so I had set Tira up with a friend of mine here in Canada who has a primarily raw foods distribution company. They're called Raw Elements. And they were doing sacred chocolate, and they had raw tella and like a few very elite and awesome products. And I introduced Tira to Raw Elements, and it was like love at first sight. And they became the distributor here in Canada. And that's my connection to Four Sigma Heroes, that I've known them now for, you know, 6 years. And he spent, I think, a summer in Toronto getting things up and running in Toronto. And I've been able to introduce him to people and get people like from our school to be ambassadors of the products. And whenever we're in LA, we see them, and
cool.
It's just grown into a friendship. Yeah. And you know, I love supporting people who are doing incredible, who have great products, first and foremost, that are doing them ethically, that are products that really help people. And I no longer have any, I know that I have nothing to do with their incredible success they're seeing, but I like to think I had a small part Canada at least, but they, you know, they've been incredible. They're so smart. He's such an amazing team.
Yeah.
They market it so well. It's a great product. They've got Tim Ferriss using it. Like,
I know.
They've done, for me, it's just like, I'm just so proud that they've done it. And Tiro's book just came out. And
yeah. What's your favorite product of theirs?
I love the chocolate products. Like, I don't drink coffee. I know the coffee is like the big deal. But their new, like,
the hot chocolate.
Reishi hot chocolate.
That's so good.
I still like the straight up, you know.
Yeah, just like the cordyceps or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, so good. Mm, and they have a matcha product now, too, which is delightful.
Oh, really? I don't
know. Yeah. There you go.
I'll have to ask for some.
Yeah. sounds like you got a connection.
Yeah, I don't have mothers don't have caffeine while you're nursing. It will really make things a lot more tricky with babies sleeping.
So good to know. So, you know, on the topic of products, how do you decipher between like buzzword, fancy schmancy, unnecessary products and products like Four Sigmatic? Because honestly, like, I saw Four Sigmatic, I saw so many people using it, and I was like, you know, like, it's trendy, it's probably unnecessary, you know, adaptogens, like, you hear everything's an adaptogen these days, like, psh. And I like ignored it for a while because I'm so used to just sort of like ignoring all these fancy pants products. Because when I went healthy, I went vegan, you know, plant-based, whatever, I was making my own almond milk. They weren't selling almond milk. And so I'm so skeptical of all these products that just keep coming out. And I'm wondering how you pick and choose products that you bring into your life or products that you just ignore, kind of like I do.
So I think it's smart to be a little skeptical. There are a lot of products and there's a lot of genius marketers. And it's a dangerous combination sometimes because we look at things that aren't naturally occurring in nature or where the primary funding for the research or all of the research is actually coming from the very company that is distributing or selling. So when I look at Four Sigmatic, there's tons of research on medicinal mushrooms, mm-hmm. on reishi and on shaga and on cordyceps and lion's mane. And so to me, that's a no-brainer. The research is there. What they've done is made this powerful functional food
sexy.
Accessible to the masses. Well, they are very cute. But yeah, the packaging and the fun guys. It's a nice combination. These like gorgeous Nordic men out in the woods. And we actually had a brunch or a dinner with the distributors, and we all went on like this foraging thing, and their chef like made us this great Larry made us this beautiful meal, and like it was fun. But when you come down to it, I look at the research. So to me, that's first and foremost. I won't use a product if it doesn't make sense, if it's made up. Like activated charcoal being put in food is ridiculous. I've written a blog post about it.
Good. I want to read that. No, I'm going to post in the show notes.
Yeah, there's no health benefit to adding activated charcoal to food because activated charcoal works by absorbing toxins and getting them out of your body. Primarily food poisoning is what it works on. So if you're eating like a drink, let's say, that has activated charcoal, it's absorbing the stuff in that drink, binding to it, and basically taking it for a trip through your intestinal tract. Activated charcoal doesn't get digested. So it's not absorbing things out of your bloodstream. It's not absorbing things out of your cells. It's binding to things in your digestive tract and taking them out.
Aren't you supposed to take it not with food? Like I have a bottle of it and it says don't take it with food or supplements.
Right.
On an empty stomach, right? So it will bind
to whatever is in your gut.
Yeah.
But yeah, exactly. So it works for food poisoning. You know, we take it when we go traveling. Or if you have a stomach bug or if you have like really, really bad diarrhea and you need it to bind up a little bit because of dehydration risk. But taking it as a detox food, it's just pulling out what's in your body. Fiber would work, you know, if that's the method. Mm-hmm. It's not pulling things out of your cells necessarily. So that's one food that I'm like, okay, I don't know. People are using it in facials, in face masks and toothpaste. There's not a lot of research on it. Doesn't mean it doesn't work, but that's one that I'm like, I don't know, do I need this? Clay, there is research on clay binding and removing. So there's also clay in toothpaste and clay in face masks. Mm-hmm. Products that like bee products. Bee products are amazing. There's this great company called Beekeepers Naturals. They're just coming to the States. They have a propolis spray. They have amazing bee pollen. They have these bee elixir, you know, that's propolis and royal jelly and all these powerful foods. And there's research behind bee medicine and what it can do for us. Right. So to me, that's something that I will bring into my life. There's a lot on gelatin and collagen. I'll bring that into my life. But other, you know, fractionated forms of different types of oils that are supposed to fuel the brain better, or, you know, powdered ketones in packets. There's some that are good. Some will tell you what's in them. There's a lot that are through network marketing that you have no idea. They say it's proprietary. So you have no idea mm-hmm. how many ketones you're getting and how that's working. And for us, that's where I get suspect. You know, I want to see independent research and then find a product that fulfills on making it easy to consume. And so for the most part, what we eat is fruits and vegetables.
Yeah, real plants. Thank you.
And clean sources of protein, and that's what we have.
Yes.
You know, a lot of the foods that come in packages, they're fun. You can get creative with them, but are they something you should eat every single day? You know, I don't know. If it's indicated, go for it. But if it's just because, you know, your favorite health expert is selling it,
right.
It's something to
totally,
ask.
Totally. Well, okay, fine. On the topic of plants, we'll wrap up with my favorite questions about your personal plant preferences. What is your favorite plant to eat?
They're all so good. Can it be like the blossoms or the fruits of a plant? Or are we talking like leaves specifically?
Oh my God, you're amazing. I mean like literally like fruit or vegetable.
Oh, well, I'm like, well, I don't know. I like cherries are my favorite fruit of all time, hands down. But like, I also fall into the cliche that I love kale. There was always a head of kale prepped in my fridge. And what I do is I buy it at the market, strip it off the stems, chop it up, massage with a little bit of lemon, olive oil, sea salt, and then I could just use it through the week. So I'll add it to salads. I'll throw it in smoothies. If I have some left over, I'll freeze it and add it, you know, the next week into smoothies. So I do fall into that total nutritionist stereotype that like I go to yoga and I like kale. So that one, I love steamed Brussels sprouts with a little bit of flax oil and sea salt.
Oh,
I
think that's steamed. Delicious. Interesting.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Just like
not roasted.
Peel off the outer layer. No, just keep it simple. So I genuinely love vegetables.
That's like, great. Practice what you preach.
Ground cherries. Do you have ground cherries where you are?
What do you mean by ground?
They're at the market right now. They look a bit like golden berries, but they're not. No, they're ground cherries. They come in like a little paper cover, like paper, like part of the plant. They're like, they have the texture of a tomato, but they have more of a flavor of a grape.
Whoa.
It's really,
I don't
really
know
good.
If I've ever seen that.
So, you know, that you go, when you're away, whenever you're away somewhere, you have to go to the farmer's market and find out like the most local produce that is not available anywhere else.
That's great. So cherries, you just eat them.
I'd go with cherries. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Nice. Nice. And the kale that you massage, do you throw massaged kale into a smoothie, like with lemon and salt and olive oil?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You don't eat, yeah, of course. It's fine.
You won't taste it in like a sweet smoothie?
No, not at all. I mean, the salt, it's all just to soften it up because I'm pretty sure no one likes a kale salad when you get it. It's usually when you buy it this way, but the leaves are really big and hard and crunchy and like it hurts your jaw chewing it. So if you massage it a little bit, it softens it, and then you can mix it in with other greens or shredded cabbage or whatever. And it's almost like it's been lightly sauteed. It's just softened. So it's way easier to chew and digest.
Yeah, totally. Like the raw, just like naked raw kale is really challenging to digest.
No.
Yeah, yeah. All right. What is your favorite plant party restaurant over there in Canada for people visiting or listening in Canada?
There's a couple. So there's a few restaurants in Toronto that are exclusively organic. One is Belmonte Raw, that is raw, organic, vegan, delicious. My friend has a place here called Doug's Public Kitchen. So that's also vegan, but also organic, amazing brunches. Mm-hmm. I love, there's a pizza place. So like total like Italian pizza, but they now make a gluten-free crust and amazing toppings. So delicious. And right around the corner from our kitchen, we have Taco Tuesdays with my staff. Not every Tuesday, but one Tuesday a month. And we go for tacos. They do like a crispy cauliflower. They do beef cheek. They have amazing homemade tortilla chips and guacamole. So those are some, and that's called Grand Electric.
Yum.
So there's three, I'll give you the four I mentioned. There's Belmonte Raw, Doug's Public Kitchen, Pizzeria Libretto, and Grand Electric is the taco place.
Thank you. And when you visit us over here in the United States, do you have a favorite restaurant that you like to go to?
There's a vegan, and it's funny because I'm not vegan, but a lot of the restaurants I end up going to are. But I go to LA a lot, and in Culver City, they have one downtown as well, but Shojin, which is a vegan, gluten-free, organic sushi. It's like every dish is a work of art. Like we went to LA for my 35th birthday to go to this restaurant for dinner.
And then flew back.
Yeah, we stayed for 4 or 5 days. And then there's also in West Hollywood, Gracias Madre, which is vegan Mexican.
So
and they
good.
Have all the organic tequila bar, which is really fun. I always wish I don't can't drink very much, but it's like the one time when I wish I could drink more because it's so good.
I love it there.
Yeah. So those are some of my favorites.
Yum. You have some good favorites. Okay. So what is your most used kitchen tool?
It's my blender. I know everyone says blender, but like I do use it every day, multiple times a day. I also think there's a lot of value in a good vegetable peeler.
Oh, yeah. There's a lot of good value.
And they're not like, it's called the super peeler. I think it's $10. It's amazing. It like self-sharpens. It lasts forever.
Ooh, I should get that because mine's terrible.
Yeah.
Super peeler. Okay.
It's like stainless steel and cheap and cheerful, and everyone needs a good veggie peerful.
Cheap and cheerful. What is a book besides your own that has inspired you in some awesome way?
New Bohemian by Justine Blakey. Ooh. It is not nutrition at all.
That's okay. I haven't heard of it.
it's so her blog and her Instagram is called The Jungalow. And it's interior design, but it's so creative. And I think her approach to design is how I approach food and cooking. And it's just colorful and simple and using what you have. And for us, you know, we have a home we just moved into 2 years ago. We've been trying to decorate it very mindfully, ethically, consciously using all reused and repurposed things. Wow. And I've just gotten so much creative inspiration from her work. And so I love food and I love cooking and I follow, you know, probably all the same people you follow and get inspiration from that. But for me, having an outlet that's not just food and work related, but design, and I do macrame and doing all that stuff. So Justine Blakeney, The Jungalow, and she actually just came out with her second book. And it's just, it's to me, it's eye candy.
Can't wait to see.
Yeah.
Sounds like it would be very like lots of plants, not the ones you eat, the ones you decorate, like snake plants. Exactly.
It's plantable in a whole other way.
Yes. So where should everyone go to undiet their lives with you and learn more about the Academy of Culinary Nutrition and just, you know, read everything you put out there? Because, you know, you were saying about the charcoal, you know, if somebody doesn't want to sit at home and do all that research on charcoal, I feel like you do it for us. You can just put it out there. Tell us what the deal is. And that is an amazing resource. You are an amazing resource. So where should everybody go?
So my own website is megantelpner.com, and it's Megan with an H because I got a lot of heart. So it's megantelpner.com. And if you want the kind of posts like about activated charcoal or about Metamucil or Centrum vitamins or Nutella, if you go to my blog and click on health washing, that is where I do a lot of the sort of uncovering of a lot of these sort of health trends,
the controversial stuff trends, where you get those delete and forgive emails.
Exactly. And then on Instagram, I'm at Megan Telpner, and my school and everything about the Academy of Culinary Nutrition is at Culinary Nutrition or culinarynutrition.com. And if your listeners want to opt in, we have a free training. We're actually going to have a new one coming out, but get on our mailing list so you can find out about our program and when we open registration for September 2018.
Sounds fantastic. Sounds amazing. Well, thank you so much for coming on today and sharing your energy, your heart with the extra H and just, you know, your knowledge and inspiring everybody to undiet, because that's not something I couldn't stand more behind. That did not make sense, but I couldn't stand more behind that philosophy. So I'm so glad you shared it with us today.
Thank you so much. And thank you for everything you're doing to get these important messages out and helping support everyone in our community too.
Thank you. Thanks so much for listening to the Party in My Plants podcast. I hope you feel like sticking it to the man or sticking it to the idea of dieting right now. It's all about that undiet life, yo. And how bomb does her Academy of Culinary Nutrition sound? I mean, it's an academy, for Pete's sake, of cooking and studying healthy food. Yes! Or is it, yes, I don't know. That's a more of a typey thing than a talking thing. But anyway, if you want to learn more about the Academy of Culinary Nutrition, head to the show notes of this podcast at partyinmyplants.com/65 for all the deets. And in general, if you just want to read the show notes or discover other awesome stuff that takes the hell out of healthy eating, head to the same place, partyinmyplants.com/65.